Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
And somebody wins the coveted Speed Jokes coffee mug. I should send one to Dr. Jeffrey Copen, the chief medical officer at Northwestern at Lake Forest. Kind of give him one. Doctor, would you like one of those?
Is this the official John Williams Speed Joke coffee cup?
Yes, sir.
It would just be a great honor to consume my morning coffee from that cup. So please, have Pete send me one, please.
And by the way, Blue Cross Blue Shield will pay for it, but it'll cost $72,000.
But with my deductible out of pocket, John, I can afford it. It'll be okay.
I'm glad to hear that. It'll be on the house, sir. Boy, here's a headline that I don't like to see. And by the way, this conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Quote, everyone is kind of tired and has given up on COVID, but this new variant is, quote unquote, one to watch, according to the World Health Organization. The Arcturus variant? What am I talking about here, doctor?
So there's a new variant, one of these XBBs that we've been talking about for a while. It's a descendant of Omicron. It's a new XBB variant that they've identified in India. It's infectious, and it's causing a lot of new cases in India. So that's what the World Health Organization is referring to. I would just add this to the long list of other variants that we need to be aware of and watch. I don't see any reason to panic. Once I became aware of this new variant, I've actually been reading some of the newspapers from India online just to get a sense of what they're experiencing. They're seeing a bunch of new cases, but thankfully they're not seeing an uptick, at least yet, in hospitalizations or death. So that's a good thing. So hopefully what we're dealing with here is another one of these infectious offspring of Omicron. It will infect a bunch of people, but with the amount of immunity that we have throughout the world right now, it's unlikely that this is going to cause a huge problem. So that's my assessment as of today, Jen.
Okay. Okay. Are they still working on a one-size-fits-all, you know, booster or vaccination?
Yeah. So there's a lot of work going on. This would be a huge breakthrough if we could have a single vaccine against coronavirus that would include the COVID virus, looking at not the areas of the virus that have a tendency to mutate, but the more constant areas of the virus that are just there. This would be a great breakthrough. This has been one of the holy grails in vaccine research for a long time. So there are a number of laboratories, both at the academic level and at pharmaceutical companies, that are working on this. There's actually a couple of vaccines that are in early clinical trials.
Oh.
Let's hope that somebody can figure this out, because it really would be a great, great breakthrough for us.
How about this story from NBC? People with smell disorders may get relief with an experimental treatment. It's called a stellate ganglion block. In the procedure, a doctor uses a temporary local anesthetic, like what a dentist would give before filling a cavity, injects it into a specific bundle of nerves on both sides of a person's neck, part of the sympathetic nerve system, and it might actually help restore people's taste or smell. Am I understanding that correctly?
You are. You are. So it's a stellate ganglion block. There's different theories as to why there are individuals who lose their smell, and then their smell doesn't come back following a COVID infection. The vast majority of people who have had smell disorders following a COVID infection get their smell back within just a matter of weeks. And about 80%, the best we can tell now, get it back within 6 months. So the question is, what about these other 20%? What's going on with them and what can we do for them? So different study groups around the world are looking at different ways to try to treat these individuals. I mean, John, think about if, you know, you just totally lost your smell, your sense of smell for that period of time. And, you know, it's not only the loss of smell. Many people also develop a syndrome where they have this sensation of smelling, but they get these very bizarre smells. So foods, for example, that they used to love just smell terrible to them. It's horrible. So a lot of work going on trying to come up with ways to help these folks. And there was an idea that maybe there's an imbalance in our autonomic nervous system. Autonomic nerves are nerves that work on their own. They don't take a conscious stimulus to make that nerve work. So, for example, when you, like if you lift your arm up, that's something you're doing consciously. But right now you're not thinking about your heart rate and your blood pressure. All that stuff happens automatically or autonomically. So we have this whole autonomic nervous system. So a pain doctor came up with an idea. What happens if I block the stellate ganglion? Maybe that will help. And there are some people it has helped. I just want to caution anyone who's listening to this conversation, John, that we don't yet have well-done studies to say that this really does work. There's a lot of anecdotal reports of it helping, and there's a couple of small clinical studies that show that it helps. That's actually what NBC News picked up on. But we're a ways away from saying one way or another whether this will be an effective treatment for these individuals or whether it will not be.
Well, I hope that there's progress made in that. You made me think of my mom again. My mom fell, hit her head several years ago, and has lost all sense of taste and smell ever since. And this won't help her, but I know how much less life you love when you don't taste or smell, just watching my mom's disinterest in food. By the way, speaking of my mom, Doc, it seems like every week it's another story. She's got the norovirus, I think. It just slammed her.
Wow.
You know, the same thing I went through and everybody went through. Now it's my mom's turn. She's kind of indestructible. And last week you said, well, there's always been norovirus. It always goes around. We just seem to pay attention to it more. So do I recall correctly, you're telling me that we aren't experiencing an unusual uptick in this sort of GI distress? We just seem to be noticing it more? This is a normal season for that?
Yeah, this is the normal season for it. We've always, you know, people talk about having like a stomach bug or a stomach flu. This is what they're talking about. But now, since we're all, you know, we've all become virologists, we know the names of these viruses. And that's what this is. So we're not seeing an epidemic of it. It's just the time of the year. So we're seeing a whole bunch of it.
Hey, John Williams, please tell the doctor I'm recovering from COVID. If it wasn't a new variant, it kicked my buttocks. Still testing negative day 10. Neurological symptoms in addition to respiratory and GI. Wow. Dr. Jeffrey Copen, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Medicine. Doc, a couple of other things to talk to you about, but I commented on norovirus a moment ago, and then one of our listeners said they think they may have got hit by that new strain, included some GI stuff. What do you think's going on there?
Well, new strain, John, of which virus?
Well, they don't know. They got sick. It says here, recovering from...
I wonder if they're referring to COVID or...
They've got neurological symptoms, respiratory issues, and GI. Maybe they got two things going on at once.
Yeah, it could be. And, you know, there are viruses that can present with multiple types of symptoms. You can get a respiratory component and a GI component. You feel lousy enough, you feel like you're having some neurological stuff, you know, where you just feel fuzzy and you feel weak. So the good news is we pretty much always recover from those things. This listener has a nasty virus with a nasty reaction to it. It's lasting 10 days. That's a long time, we all know.
But the rule is still, is it not 5 days after the onset, if you are symptom-free, it's okay to go even if you're testing positive. Is that still the math on that?
Yes, that's CDC's guidance. I would even tell people, if you don't even bother to test yourself again. We don't know what that means. We thought we did, but we don't. If you're feeling okay after 5 days from the onset of your symptoms with COVID, you can get on with your life.
Well, what about this? Easter's right around the corner. We got a bunch of folks coming over to our house. We're going to do an Easter egg hunt and all that sort of thing. I'm thinking about having a hand sanitizer there for everybody in case it's like a norovirus. And I think we're going to be kind of spread out. If somebody wants to wear a mask, that's up to them. I don't think they will, but I'm a little concerned about mutual gathering right now.
So good news, we're still in, the best we can tell, we're in a period of low transmission of COVID. So people should feel good about that. Jen, I would go back to what we've been talking about for many months. Everybody's got to look at who's going to be coming over. Mm-hmm. You know, what are we? Do we have a lot of older people? Do we have people who are immunocompromised? What are the right types of precautions to take? And not only for COVID, you're really right on. There are other viruses that are out there. Depending who's coming over and everybody's risk tolerance, their risk for getting sick. What's the best strategy for that group of people? I think it's important to think that through.
Okay. Dr. Jeffrey Copin, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Well, I'll talk to you next week, Doctor. It's always a pleasure. We so appreciate your insight.
All right, John. You take care. Bye-bye.
And that Speed Jokes mug will be in the mail, sir.